Blog Talk Radio.
Wrestling world, it's your boy, the one, the only, who else? Brian Rails, a.k.a. B-Train. Wrestling has always been interesting, and it just got more interesting because, you see, the title reads, Holy Wrestling Shakeup, Rumble in Saudi Arabia, and much more to discuss. You see, the first thing I'm going to talk about, it really shouldn't be a surprise to most WWE fans that Chris Jericho will be headed on his way back for this one-time deal, I guess. I don't know how to take it, but I read reports from a source called WrestlingNews.co, and also Bleacher Report and Cage Side Seats also reported this. The rumors of this huge Royal, not, I wouldn't say Royal Rumble return, but this is a big return nonetheless, because Chris Jericho, in my opinion, is wrestling's only hottest free agent. People can claim John Cena as the hottest free agent in WWE. I don't necessarily think that's true, but, you know, for different fans, that's their reference guide. But let me tell you, Chris Jericho returning to WWE, that would make me and others so happy to see him because, look, the man just wrestled Kenny Omega at WK12 to begin the year. The man has been appearing in different places, and I plan on going to his cruise in October. Do you know why? Because that'll be one hell of a fun-ass trip on a boat full of amazing wrestling talent. I mean, look at it. Cody Rhodes has been confirmed for Chris Jericho's cruise, and I know I'm going off topic here, but that was the report that Chris Jericho will be in the huge 100 or Superstar Battle Royal. I mean, come on. That's incredibly huge. Big, big chiz for WWE. First off, you know, they had the first ever women's match in a Middle Eastern country, with women. Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks participated in a match, which is the first for women to participate in anything. Now you have a huge battle royal, a huge Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia. I mean, this is stuff that you dream about as a kid. Like, oh man, I wish they go to Japan. I wish they go here. It's not that WWE doesn't tour, guys. It's just where they are as a company right now, they are expanding and ever so quickly, and kudos to the people in charge of this endeavor, because it does say in the company's title, World Wrestling. They've been to Germany, they've been to Ireland, they've been to England, now they're going to Saudi Arabia. So with Chris Jericho added into this mix, I don't know what else to say other than holy fuck, it's about time. Chris, you know, the last few times that he's been in WWE, you notice a pattern? He's awesome. That's the pattern. That's all I'm going to tell you. What I was going to say, not to sound too Mark-esque, although I'm pretty sure I already do to most of you, but Chris Jericho, whenever he goes into a match, he puts the other person over. Is that by choice? I don't know. Did they give Chris more leeway because of that? Who knows? But, I mean, he's the most consistent worker. When he goes in, he does what he's supposed to, and then he goes and tours with Fozzy or whatever he does, and he still rocks it. I'm going to tell you right now, for those of you who think that Kenny Omega is coming because of Chris Jericho, don't put that past it. I mean, once upon a time, yes, Kenny Omega was in WWE, but I just answered this question a few months ago. Chris Jericho's mission is to work and entertain. I don't speak for him, but if he were to get Kenny Omega, sir, this is what I would tell you. I don't speak for Chris Jericho. I don't know what his mission is each time he goes in the ring, but all he owes us as fans is a good show. I don't, you know, if you think that he's going to get talent or trying to take talent away, that's not Chris's mission, man. He's not a secret wrestling agent, you know, that goes into the locker room with Shane saying, hey, you, come here. You know who I am? I'm Chris Jericho. I'm going to take this talent and put them on top on WWE's pedestal. I don't think that's a fair assessment because I'm reading all the comments right now in Wrestle_Radio, and the question is, do you think that we will see Chris Jericho hold a world title again in any company? There's a good possibility that he could. He's so used to the lifestyle as is. We all know this as workers, that when you become a champion or when you're not a champion, you're still working your ass off to get to the next venue, to get a hotel book, to get the flight, to get the rental car. I mean, to answer that question directly, yes, I do believe Chris Jericho will become a champion. I just don't know when. I don't know if Seth Rollins will become the Intercontinental Champion at WrestleMania, but that is a good question. Whenever it's a triple threat match, man, it's anybody's game. If you have any questions about WrestleMania, past or present, please send them my way, folks, at Wrestle_Radio. If you have any questions about the title, you know, call in 213-943-3422. Again, that's 213-943-3422. I'm going to take a break from Jericho talk just for a minute to review this brand's awesome pay-per-view last night. So give me a minute. All right, boys, hit the music. Last night's pay-per-view of SmackDown Live, wow, Nakamura and Rusev. What a clinic those two put on. And the reverse, not just the reversals, but everything about that match from start to finish told a story. Those wrestlers, those two did their job last night. They gave the fans a wrestling match, which is, you know, if you're a cynic like me, which is a rarity for WWE to do from time to time, but they have their moments. This being one of them at Fastlane pay-per-view, which was emanating from Columbus, Ohio, had a sold out crowd. Crazy, man. From the very beginning of the match, you heard Nakamura Rusev Day, although that split chant is really good. You know, it grates on my nerves, but that's not the point. The point is, Nakamura, Rusev, wow. All stars across the board, man. You want to start writing notes on how you work a crowd? These two men put themselves on the line. Well, at one point, Rusev hit a Machka kick. Shinsuke kicked out. Fans a little bit of a scare, you know. Shinsuke, he just is a buzzsaw. He is a human buzzsaw. a man can endure so much punishment and still come out victorious. He hit Rusev with Kinshasa. And that was your finish. I can't go detail about how amazing this match was. You'd have to watch it on the WWE Network, which you can get for free if you haven't already signed up for it. So I can only warn you, it's one awesome match that sets the tone for the rest of the night. Another match that caught my attention was The New Day versus The Usos. It looked like it was going to be a very back-and-forth match. At one point, The Usos hit Midnight Hour, and then The Usos Splash was hit by Kofi Kingston. So, I mean, it was a great, you know, back-and-forth match between New Day and The Usos, except for the Bludgeon Brothers come out to holy hell out of both New Day and The Usos. So I wonder what's going to happen on SmackDown Live when they all converge. It's going to be interesting, to say the least. It's going to be very interesting. The Bludgeon Brothers basically beat the holy hell out of both factions, the Usos and the New Day. Surprised there wasn't bloodshed because it was getting nasty. Pretty good. They got the message across that they're here in the tag team division on SmackDown Live, although they did interfere in a tag title match. I think most of the fans were kind of taken aback by what happened. So I'm not really sure how I was supposed to react to that one. Other than, that's pretty cool. Now they're well known. They've been well known on WWE SmackDown Live's roster, okay? I don't know if they're going to go for the SmackDown Live championships, the tag team championships, but yeah. All right, so we had a women's division match. Carmella and Natalya defeated Naomi and Becky, so it was okay. That match was okay. Good victory for Carmella. The Money in the Bank briefcase holder for the women. She's the only Money in the Bank briefcase holder right now because Baron Corbin lost his. Where's your briefcase? Let's see here. Oh, yeah, the kickoff match, my bad. Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin, and Mojo Rawley versus Breezango and Ty Dillinger. Ty Dillinger and Breezango end up picking up the victory. Perfect 10, blah, blah, blah. Ah, yes. The women's championship match with Ruby Riott and Charlotte Flair. You want to talk about putting on a good pay-per-view? The women's match? That was a damn good match between Riott and Charlotte. Everyone and their mother, though, is complaining that, how come Ruby Riott can, because they're, if the promoters were to base it off the fan reactions and go against the grain for that reasoning, then guess what? Maybe they're building it for something else. That's all I can tell you. Because nobody says, well, you're going to lose because the crowd won't react, so they won't take so kindly to it. The case. I think Ruby Riott really proved herself throughout that match. And it gave chills down my spine to see who appeared. Asuka. She didn't care for Alexa Bliss. Apparently, you know, now she's on SmackDown Live's roster. Was this the article that I was reading earlier saying some superstars will be transferring rosters? What does that mean? What does that mean for the rest of the women's locker room now that Asuka is on SmackDown Live's roster? She won for the brand of Monday Night Raw. For the Royal Rumble, the right to face whomever is champion, Raw or SmackDown Live. I thought she was choosing Alexa Bliss, but apparently fans, others, knew what was going to happen. Let's be honest, dude. Alexa Bliss, she can put on a good match. However, if it's Asuka and her by herself, I wonder what that's going to translate into now that Asuka is no longer on Monday Night Raw, or is this mind games played by Asuka herself? You never know. But I believe it was a great match. Charlotte and Ruby Riott got the fans involved. Figure eight. Earlier extracurricular activity occurred, so Becky Lynch and Naomi came down to support Charlotte. Sarah Logan and What's her face? See, that's bad that I... Oh, yes. Carmella's bootleg. Liv Morgan. Bad that I cannot recall certain people's names when I'm in the describing mode. They got kicked out of the match second after they tried to interfere, you know, by hitting Charlotte when the referee's back wasn't turned, which is funny because if you watch any match with Mike Chioda, he does a really good job of making sure the match goes the way it's supposed to when it comes to interference and throwing people out. He's gotten the hang of that, man. After all, he's been in the thick of things for a lot of matches. Been in a lot of Shawn Michaels matches, I can tell you that, and a lot more than that. Anyways, I thought it was a good match. Had a lot of back and forth, just the perfect amount of heat, just the perfect amount of shine for Charlotte to use. The crowd has really fallen in love with Charlotte, not because of Daddy's name, but because your God, man, she retained her title. She hung tough. Riot, you know, is a big time key player, and Charlotte even let her know that. I'm sure they don't care, but you know, great match overall. Okay. So moving on to the main event. Got the fans talking, all right, because there's two possibilities that could have occurred in this. Why, you know, refuse to put a match that might make sense into this whole WrestleMania shindig? I mean, we might be seeing Shinsuke and AJ by themselves, and fans would like to see how that pans out. But what if, later on down the road, you might see Shinsuke as champion facing off with Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn? The reason I bring this up is because it was such a good match. It was very, very back and forth between Ziggler, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, John Cena, and the champion AJ Styles. And the reason I say that is because this, of course, the reaction the crowd gave John Cena, majority of the crowd in Ohio and Columbus, probably about 86%, that's a round-off number, 86 to 90% were booing the ever-living fuck out of John Cena. So when he entered the ring and gave everyone an attitude adjustment, I don't care whose idea it was, but, you know, it was good. It was a good way to get the crowd heat, I think. See, because John Cena's supposed to be a babyface, so is, I don't know what you would classify Dolph Ziggler as. It's a very fickle crowd, man. They boo you one minute, they cheer you the next. Now, this is wrestling for you, okay? Mind you, it was in an area in the Northeast, in Ohio. I have not been to Ohio in quite some time. But I can tell you is that they're kind of the appetizer before you hit New York and Boston when it comes to crowd reaction. And when John Cena did what he did, I felt in my gut that the crowd in Columbus, Ohio, was not going to be so warm to that idea. Even if, you know, he took five competitors out right away, tried to get a one-on-one opportunity with AJ Styles. AJ Styles, what a champion this guy is. At least he appears on network television program week in, week out. The only time that Brock Lesnar has ever sought out to show up is, well, this coming Monday to confront Roman Reigns with his advocate, Paul Heyman. If you think about the reason why, and it's to answer your question, Kyle. Your middle name is Kyle. Oh, that's just your name. Okay, what's your real name, man? Jason. Okay. How many middle names do you have? Fuck's sakes, this is pretty funny. Okay, I'll just call you Dustin. Dustin. To answer your question why Baron Corbin is being put in the main event, it's because he's serving his business well. People may not like him, but he shows up. I don't like the fucker either, but here's the thing. Because to me, Baron Corbin, I cannot believe, you know, I've read somewhere that The Undertaker takes a liking to Baron Corbin, but you know what? He may have seen a younger Undertaker in Baron Corbin somewhere, even though I and others may think that's impossible. But the reason why he's chosen for the main event is because he serves his company before he, you know, thinks of himself. Although I don't know and I don't speak for him. But that's probably one of the reasons why he's in the main event, because he does everything that he's told. And that'll get you far in life. Yes, it's annoying to do. If you want to succeed anywhere, especially WWE, you have to listen to whoever's in charge. Unless you can be like Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and others that just decided, hey, we're going to go elsewhere and do it for the rhyme reason of making more money. Anyways, so the main event that featured six men, I thought was pretty decent, because it's very seldom that you see a six-man challenge notice qualification booked the way it was booked. Now, granted, there was a point in the match right before all chaos occurred in the ring, which was most of the night, most of that match. Sami Zayn was confronting Shane. Kevin Owens accidentally kicked Shane. He was trying to kick Sami in the face. Then you see Sami Zayn hits Kevin Owens, or no, Kevin Owens hits somebody with a pop-up powerbomb. Should have won the championship, right? Nope. Shane pulls him out. When the referee was about to come down for the three count. And then you see a series or sequence of events. Is it planting the seeds for WrestleMania 34 for Shane McMahon to face off with Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn? Please don't. Please don't do that, guys. The reason why I'm pleading my case is because I know Shane can work and I know he's healthy as a horse, but for real, WrestleMania could have been AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan. And again, I don't speak for any superstar by any means, but I feel like watching this, watching the travesty that is, what if Sami Zayn were to have won the championship? What if Kevin Owens would have won the championship? I mean, very, very briefly did Sami Zayn have a moment to shine, and that was as the NXT champion. Maybe there's something wrong with what's going on. I don't know. What would the repercussions be? We wouldn't see Shinsuke versus AJ. I get that aspect. What would be the repercussions? You still get to see Shinsuke Nakamura, and you don't know how well Sami and Kevin can put together matches. Unless you actually sat down and actually watched PWG and actually watched prior matches before WWE. So there's, you know, a little conflict right there. I don't know what's going to happen on SmackDown Live, but now I'm fucking glued to whether, you know, to what will happen next. So AJ Styles hits a phenomenal forearm out of nowhere. Thank God Michael Cole isn't there, because out of nowhere! Anyways, those are my only two questionable moments of what it's setting up for at WrestleMania 34, because in 27 days, folks, yours truly and a good friend of mine, I'll be headed to New Orleans to catch the extravaganza that will rain down on the Big Easy, a.k.a. New Orleans. WrestleMania 34, which you can catch on the network for $9.99 a month. But if you sign up now and you've never signed up before, if you have no prior accounts, please let me rephrase this. If you have no prior WWE Network accounts, you can set up your first month free. If you don't want to use a credit or debit card, you can get a WWE preloaded card, which will load, let's see, log 3 months plus that, so 4 months total, so $29.97. If you want to order that on the shop, you can do so. It's $6.99 for regular shipping standard, $11.99 for 3 to 5, $21.99 for next day shipping. Catch all your awesome items at the shop. You can also get these preloaded shopping cards or WWE cards at GameStop, Dollar General, Best Buy, 7-Eleven, and Walmart. So if you don't feel satisfied, you won't get a refund though at all, because that card has 3 months on it, and who's going to give you that, right? But if you want it year round and a recurring charge of $9.99 per month, make sure you have a valid username, which would be your email address, and your valid password, which is whatever you want, an uppercase, lowercase, and then whatever special symbols you want to use. Make sure you store your notes in whatever app you have, okay? For those of you wanting to sign up, speaking of the advertisements, for those of you wanting to sign up for Danny Cage's Monster Factory Super Camp, you can do so by visiting monsterfactory.org. Again, that's monsterfactory.org. For more information, visit monsterfactory.org. Contact Danny directly. Phone number should be directly on the website, directly on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Again, you don't want to miss out on Monster Factory, because then you're passing up the opportunity to learn more about the business than you thought you knew. Okay? For those of you wanting to fight the good fight against cancer, please remember that your donations and your research are extremely important. Go to two websites. You can go to SusanGComan.org. You can also visit Cure for Connor. The website should be located on Google's search engine, or you can also search those sites on WWE.com's website. For those of you wanting to make your child's wish come true by letting them meet the latest WWE superstars such as Dean Ambrose, Randy Orton, John Cena, Roman Reigns, Asuka, Sasha Banks, Dean Ambrose, and so many more, and Seth Rollins, type the name of the superstar for which your child wants to see. Make sure that you type in their name correctly and call Make-A-Wishes Foundation. Make your child's wish come true to do today. Make-A-Wish, the official sponsor of WrestleMania 34. For those of you wanting tickets to any wrestling events, Survivor Series ticket sales are still available. $2,665 for the travel packages to Los Angeles at the Staples Center, where you can meet and greet a superstar, have lunch and dining, and experience with a superstar that you'll never forget. Go to WWE.com for more details. For those of you wanting to train to become a professional wrestler, go to NWLTPC. And that is located in North Kansas City, Missouri. For more information, visit NWLLeague.com. NWLLeague.com. For those of you wanting to go to a wrestling school in Iowa, go to BraveForBlack.com. Also, message Todd Countryman for more information about his wrestling school, because, again, MTU, you will not regret it. Again, there's a lot of wrestling schools no matter where you are, so make sure that you take the time to sign up. Don't say, oh, I'm going to be a wrestler. You do what you want to do, man. You make your own decisions. I don't make them for you. 44 seconds until you get to dive into my mind. And no, I haven't revealed all my wonderful ramblings just quite yet. But you know what? I believe I'm going to speak about me going to Monster Factory again, my thoughts going towards that camp, and what I hope to accomplish, what I will accomplish. Never mind. Hope is hope. Actually doing is actually doing. Okay, you know what? I got 9 seconds. This is taking forever, I'm telling you. Like waiting for a... Yeah, it's like waiting for an R train, exactly. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. the Monday edition of Off the Rails, Wrestle Radio edition. Let me just phrase it for you like this. There's a lot of things going on that I'm realizing about pro wrestling, good and bad. Especially those of you wanting to break in the business and those of you who are already a part of the business, you already know certain things. But what you don't know is, some of you know this, some of you don't. There's got to be a backup career, man, for wrestlers when it comes to what am I going to do after this? You don't like being a manager? Well, then what happens when you get hurt and you can't take bumps anymore? The doctor says you can do these bumps, but you can't do this. Let me ask you that question. Because some of you already have careers, but you don't really like the whole wrestling side of things because it's not making you enough money to support yourself, and that's understandable. What I'm here to talk to you about today is my experience, you know, from my experience as a manager. Not really. That's a very short conversation. How long did you manage? This amount of years. Where did you manage? This place, that place, the other. And what did you realize? I realized, guys, that I'm a lot happier just, you know, planning things ahead with another friend of mine. It's very important in this business that you have a back career, and it's also very important that you keep at least one friend. Because if you don't have any, it becomes what we like to call the business a lonely road. If you don't have any friends in the business or outside of the business, then I don't know what to tell you because I'm not a therapist. All I can tell you is you learn where you stand business-wise, and you also learn how people can be two-faced. And then you move on from it because it's not worth dwelling in the past. So in other words, if you have a second job, or if you have a job, or if you have two jobs or three, and you're in wrestling, great. But don't have the fucking attitude of, I can only wrestle because that's what I was made to do. That shit pisses me off more than anything. So you can't referee, you can't manage, you can't announce, you can't do a podcast. Hell, anyone and their mother can do a fucking podcast, right? It's just you have to learn the tools and you got to pay whatever website you go through, you have to understand the rules and how to work it. Like Blog Talk, for example, it's $39 a month, folks. I'm paying $39 a month out of my pocket versus the $481 that I'd be paying for a year. And that's unlimited podcasts with as many guests as I want. And to my heart's content, I could interview all day long. It's just like shooting the breeze. But I still want to learn how to market. I still want to learn how to do things better. I used to hate learning. I'm not going to lie. I hated school. I hated it because, for one, I always thought, well, I'm going to have a secure job. Hopefully I get out of this hell that I'm in right now. I was always picked on, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, folks, I to learn because I didn't understand. Most of it was I didn't understand what the teachers were trying to teach me. It's not just wrestling. It's in general, man. I've seen this. People do not want to get outside their comfort zone. I know I don't. I'm not perfect either. So what I'm trying to discuss with you all is, if you're a wrestler or a manager or whomever and you don't want to do anything else than that just one position, then okay, more power to you. It's not going to make me hate you. It's just going to make me frustrated because I was witness to it when I first really, really training for business instead of just going from seminar to seminar with lack of experience. it's the attitude that was presented to me that I understand. It's a sad dose of reality, you know. Not everyone says, hey, I'd like to be, wake up one day and go, hey, I'd like to be a referee. It's a guaranteed job, and yes, you can get hurt. Manager is the lowest on the totem pole in the wrestling business. Do you know why? Someone explained to me that, or JT Davidson said it best. If you're a manager, you're always known as the guy that rode with your friend, and you're not very well revered unless your name was Jim Cornette or Bobby Heenan or the Grand Wizard. There's a lot of backlash when someone says, oh, I'm bringing a manager. At one point in time in wrestling, managers, there's way too many of us. But what I'm saying is it kind of annoyed me where I was at when they said, why don't you just manage? So that meant pound the mat and pull someone's leg. Managers are much more like you can be viewed as a Paul Heyman. You can be viewed as a JT Davidson. What I'm saying, what irritates me is some workers believe, well, I'm never going to be a manager. I mean, I know how to distract and I know how to make it look good. Timing is everything when it comes to pro wrestling. There are some people that will criticize other people during their match and when they have their match. Yeah, I've seen this happen before. I get it. Thank you from Anonymous from Seattle, Washington. That's saying wrestling will have their complainers and they will have their negative cynics, but it's just all up to you how you view the business. That's very true. What I'm saying is it bothered me, the reaction that you get when you say, well, I want you to be his manager, or I want you to be his valet. It all depends on where you are, and it's all, like I said, it's all about timing. So, and also, let's move on from the subject, because I know I can go on and on and on about it, and we only have an hour-long show, so I don't want to do that. If you're a wrestler in this business and you are trying to get your name out there, there's ways of doing that, man. You can put a YouTube channel up. You can make business cards. You can just make yourself, invest in yourself. That's the biggest thing that I can tell you that others have told me. If you're not invested in yourself enough to care about putting a website up or a Facebook page up or Twitter or Instagram, I'm on Instagram. I literally live on my phone when it comes to promoting Wrestle Radio. So I wouldn't say advice giving is my special trait, but if you want my opinion on this, this is just my take on it. Put something of yourself out there so people can see. And the best way to do that, sir, if you want, man, I can send you information or I can give you the link for Monster Factory Super Camp. Is that what you wanted? All right. Another thing that I would like to discuss with you all today is for those who invest in themselves and have self-confidence, yay you do awesome. There's some of you, though, that really need to stick a cork in it. And I'll tell you why. If I was promoting myself on Facebook, that's great. Because, you know, I'd promote it on my fan page. However, until you've actually worked said promotions, please shut your mouth. I mean, the biggest reward you could ever have, knowing that you are getting yourself out there, that's great. But saying, hey, I'm contacting, you know, this amount of promotions. there's pros and cons to that. Pros, you're getting yourself out there. Cons, I'm one of those that it's an adventure until it goes south. So better safe than sorry. Just be fucking quiet about it, man. Just pictures are worth a thousand words. That's all I'm going to tell you. Pictures are worth a thousand words. So flyers, promotional posters, whatever. Those are the promotional things that set the epitome for being in the world of professional wrestling, not you saying I'm going to be a part of when you're not even, it's not even a guarantee. That'd be like me saying, I'm going to be going to New Japan. And what if they don't fucking book my ass? Then I look fucking retarded. So, you want my opinion on this? Do whatever you want to do to make yourself have self-reassurance. But that ego, dude, it's, ego is one thing you need in wrestling. But too much of it can turn people away. Be confident, be cool, be cordial, whatever you want to be in life. But don't be a royal pain in the ass. And by that, I mean, I made a trip to New Orleans, and I only paid this much. I'm booking another flight to Philly. I only paid X amount of dollars. You see where I'm going with this? If you have the wear around to know, okay, I'm doing awesome, I'm doing decent in this business, that's awesome. But for the love of fuck's sakes, man. For the love, that is all good and decent. It'd be nice if on social media people kept their some of their thoughts to themselves, because others may just find you kind of annoying and, well, to be a prude. There's some people that won't let it go because they know they're going to invoke a reaction, negative or positive. I seldom share status because you don't know which company is paying attention to you. You don't. And it looks very bad on you to, one, in this business, mark out for yourself unless you did something super, super cool. Two, if you don't see if you cannot take criticism and understand where the other person is coming from, some instances that's hard because we think as human beings we're perfect, then got some words of wisdom for you. Just take the criticism, apply it, and don't fucking status it out on Facebook. Unless it really had some form of impact on you as an individual in the world of professional wrestling. And for those of you who are dishing out criticism just to dish it out because you know you yourself can't really do much, that's pathetic. So, in other words, if you're the one criticizing, yet you get in the ring and you stink up the joint, the fans are like, what the hell just happened? Then there's really no room for you to talk. And I've noticed that with some people. I don't like to name names. I'm not going to. But if you can't take criticism in this business, then get the fuck out. Put your gear up on a hook and say goodbye. I've been holding this in for the longest time, and it's been a while since I've been able to sit down and actually have full-on thoughts about what's good and what's bad in this business. The good obviously will outweigh the bad. Thank you, Uncle Bob, for teaching me that. You'll get different opinions, and you also get different viewpoints when you get into professional wrestling. the very first thing I started talking about was you better have a backup plan if wrestling ain't your thing. If you know, and also within wrestling, if you are told to manage or referee, take it with a grain of salt. Because if you don't know all the elements of the business, there's a lot of them that are undiscovered. One of the biggest ones is learning how to do shit. I mean, I refereed at a lucha show. Does that make me better than any referee in WWE, New Japan, Ring of Honor, CZW? No. What it gave me was an experience, a learning experience. Okay, if I can't manage on the show, then I will just referee. Because what is the point, guys, of being involved in professional wrestling if you're not willing to do or to serve your purpose or to serve others and what they want? Now, here's the tricky part. So you have to serve, right? Does that mean be a doormat for other promoters? No. If you don't like it, get the fuck out. If it's not to your satisfaction, that's the problem. See, we'll never be satisfied as human beings because we always constantly want perfection, especially in wrestling, because nothing ever is going to turn out perfect. Nothing ever is going to turn out to what you want or how you want it to be. I'm telling to you is, if you went into wrestling thinking I'm going to be a multiple time champion and I'm going to tear down walls and I'm going to be the next Kenny Omega or Chris Jericho, how do you think those guys got to where they're at right now? I mean, they've been wrestling since they were teenagers. And I guarantee you, they weren't rich right away. Chris Jericho has worked in Japan. He's worked in Mexico. He's worked probably every location on the globe that you can think of. I bet you he wasn't apt to being a referee or a manager because, look, the man can talk, the man can work. Some guys know what they have to do in order to be successful. And it really bugs me how people don't want to even work security. Like, or even attempt to, because it's like, well, I'll tell you one rhyme or reason why I didn't. But that's a different story for a different day. Like I said, I'm not perfect, but I've learned how to take a job in professional wrestling, how to manage. I'm still learning how to manage my money better. That's another thing. When you're involved in professional wrestling and you throw your money all into your product, you know, you're investing in yourself, like Pro Wrestling Tees, or somebody that can design T-shirts for you so you can sell them at your shows. It is what it is. You have resources that other guys didn't have when they were in the business themselves. So take advantage of that. Also, if you actually have a God-given ability and talent, and you just want to stay stagnant and stuck in the same place because it's familiar and it's not out of your comfort zone, my question to you guys is, When are you going to live and let go and have fun? That's all. I mean, I know people are like, well, it's our lives. We can decide what we want to do with our lives. I get that concept. And I've learned a few things. Just leave people alone who want to stay stuck because they suck. And also, if I hear things about me behind my back, here's what I tell you. You're not paying my bills. You're not going with me on my adventures. And you sure as hell are not, and you sure as hell are not making me do anything I don't want to do. So I'm happier. I am 10 times happier than I was 2 years ago, folks. And you know why? Do you know why? Because I don't let others dictate what I can and cannot do. in certain instances, not in the wrestling business, but in certain instances, if the promoter wants me to be a part of their show, then great. If they don't, then, oh, well, tough nuggets. Learn a trade, get a job. Don't always think, well, this wrestler did this. Maybe I can too. Sometimes you got to learn your limitations. Just like I thought I was going to be the next Paul Heyman. It's still in question, though, because I'm 30 years old. Hey, you are never too old and you're never too young to start your journey. But you are you and they are them. That's another thing that I've picked up on. I learn late. Forgive me if I learn late. But in the world of professional wrestling, learn to be adapt to whatever environment you are in, whether you're a referee, whether you're a manager, wrestler, bellkeep, ring announcer. You better learn all the positions you can, because there's one thing I remember from one particular seminar in St. Louis. Delirious said, I learned how to work every position. That is how the man is a success, is that he learned everything, how to do production, how to book, how to ring announce, how to manage. Obviously, the man knows how to wrestle. He's been doing it for quite some time. But, I mean, it just begs the question. Why are people stagnant? And why do certain people need self-reassurance on Facebook? I mean, hell, dude. Like I said, some people will say what they must just to get, you know, just to get a rise out of people on social media. And then others, they naturally have that knack for people and their likability and all that stuff. In other words, they know how to market themselves. They know how to present stuff in front of a crowd. Whenever you do anything in life, people will look at you and say, the guy, really made an impression on me. Or they'll say, oh, that asshole. I really don't want to be around him. Because he sits there and brags about shit that we can't even see. Like, okay, where's your video proof? Where's your text message proof that you're working, you know, said promotion? Not that I doubt that people are going out to get themselves involved in the world of wrestling. More power to you. It's how you go about doing it. You can work for 20 promotions and still not be known. Or you can work for 20 promotions and at least be known by five out of the 20 promotions, because people already have their favorites. Fans are very... even in the indies, they're very fickle. They cheer one guy for at least 4 to 5 months because it's a smaller environment, smaller, inclusive environment where no one knows who the fuck said person is, but hey, this guy's the good guy, and hey, this guy's the bad guy. That simple, you know, for certain fans. All I'm trying to say is it annoys me when people try to get self-reassurance on social media sometimes. Other times, it's just like, okay, you know, if he or she's being honest, then we'll respect. That's what I look for. If you're being honest and saying how you feel versus, you know, a stereotypical fucking podcast that just has a zillion guests and they never really reach their audience. If your audience is local, then you're not really reaching the potential, in my opinion. There's always room to grow. There's always room to learn. Don't ever assume that your show is doing well when you don't even take a look at the fucking numbers. Two, again, if you're working in the world of professional wrestling and you're not humble about anything and you're not serving your purpose for the promoter or the company for which you are working for currently or about to work for, it's going to be an uphill battle. Like any job, you're there to do one thing, though, in wrestling. Like any job, you got to present, you have to be aware, and you have to reach your audience. If you don't give the audience a good show, then the 26 to 35 or 38 promotions that you signed up for, that's just like, those are numbers. And it bothers me when people do that. Those are just numbers. And you're really just, are you, I mean, I get it, exposure. And I get it, you're putting your name out there. But if a fan knows who you are and they see what you're presenting, convince me and others otherwise about who you really are versus somebody who's just trying to get their name and their number in the promoter's pocket. It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying the way that it's presented. Because then that just means, okay, well, do the promotions mean anything to you, or is it just a numbers game? Quality is better than quantity. Because if you're a quality wrestler, sure, you can still get your name out there. You can still get exposure. And you sure as hell can get promoters' attention if you're not an asshole. There are ways, there are definite ways of getting good reputation through this business. And that is eyes open, mouth shut, ears open, and just listen. Just do about your, you know, promoting in a silent way. Just promote over Facebook, promote on Twitter. Do what you can. Because if you don't, folks, what's going to happen to you is you're going to be a guy or gal that goes through life doing, hey, I work here. There's pictures of you, yes. That's good. But what, I mean, is there a flashy business card? Is there a website that we can reach? Are there video of your matches? And just so, you know, great. But don't go online trying to get yourself some self-reassurance to boost your huge, massive fucking ego by saying the following. I'm working, I've got this lined up, I've got that lined up, I'm just killing it today, blah, blah, blah. Bye, bitch, ain't nobody got time for that shit. That's what I'm going to say. Oh, and by the way, I got to go eat. So, if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Oh, yeah. And one more thing. I got to eat. Toodles, bitches. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be.